And now, the life of Mary Southern. Mary had a long talk yesterday with her injured husband, Max Sanders, whose heroism at the prison fire had saved the lives of hundreds of his fellow prisoners. Neither Mary nor Max knows yet that the warden intends to accuse Max of setting fire to the prison in order to escape from the confusion. Dr. John Benson does not yet dare to tell them of this threat, for Max is lying now in county hospital in a serious condition. Mary is driven home with Laura Barton, daughter of Jeffrey Barton, an important director of Sanders' interest. Dr. John Benson has his own troubles, too, just now. Merlin Davis has threatened to have Dr. Benson discharged from the clinic if Davis's niece does not recover from a serious infection. Laura now brings disheartening news to Mary. Gerald Proust is trying to get an interview with her father, Jeffrey Barton. Proust, she says, wants to talk to her father about Mary and Max. It is several hours later. The twilight shadows lengthen through the corridors of County Hospital. Swathed in bandages, Max Sanders lies motionless in bed.
That clock again. Tick, tick, tick. Oh, I wish they'd take it away. Every minute like an hour. It's getting dark again. Nice and warm in here. Be all right if only that clock had stopped. That countdown clock. I wish somebody... Huh?
Now, Mr. Sanders, you must be quiet.
Oh, well. Where'd you come from, huh?
Oh, I've been here right along. Dr. Benson told you to have anything you wanted, Mr. Sanders.
Well, look, nurse, I want to get out of here, but they've got me roped and tied. So I guess that's how. Huh?
Would you like to do the water?
No. Not now, but you can do me a big favor.
Yes?
You can take this countdown clock and stick it in that stack of blankets.
Why, Mr. Sanders?
The darn thing keeps ticking.
This clock had a habit of doing that, you know.
It gets on my nerves. Time goes slow enough, I don't need a clock to measure it.
All right. You take the clock and you put it in a pile of blankets. And it no longer bothers you.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks. Is Dr. Benson around?
He'll be in very shortly. Open your mouth. Just hold the thermometer there for a minute. Steady.
Oh, God.
Steady.
Come there and bite this little stick in two.
Dr. Benson's coming in soon to remove some of the bandages. He and Dr. Casey think you've been a good boy. Then perhaps you will need those bandages around your neck.
That's the way I'm all wrapped up. I feel like a giraffe with a sore throat.
Okay, get the monitor now. You are perfectly grand.
Thanks for the build-up, nurse, but I'm far from grand. Now, let's not kid each other.
Now, mustn't go down in the dump. You must be bright and cheerful so we can go home very soon.
Nurse, I'll bet you memorized that line years ago.
Can't see you, can I, brother?
Now we're getting somewhere. You and I will tell each other the truth and get along a lot better.
Well, I'm sure we'll get along a lot better. Huh? Take time, Max. Take time.
Ain't too much time, Doc, if you ask me.
Oh, nurse, will you come outside a minute? I want to talk to you.
Yes, doctor.
I'll be back in a minute, Max.
Yeah, okay, Doc.
How's it been, nurse?
Temperature 2 degrees above normal. Pulse very rapid.
Any delirium?
Well, he...
Maybe you drop off the sleeper coil?
No. He keeps awake despite the sleeping powder you gave him. His mind seems to be very clear. Something seems to be worrying him.
Sounded cheerful enough just now.
Oh, he pretends to be all right. Jokes and kids now and then, but... Just pretends, I'm sure. I heard him mumbling last night about his wife.
Did you hear anything he said?
No. It's the usual murmuring of the shock case. Talking to himself because he's alone tonight, though.
You must be very careful with his patient. A great deal depends upon his recovery. The future happiness of a great many people. This patient is in a very delicate condition. A weaker man couldn't survive those burns as long as this.
I understand, Doctor. I'll be very careful. Oh, good evening, Dr. Casey.
Good evening, Doctor.
Oh.
Good evening, Dr. Benson.
Good evening.
Well, how's our patient?
I don't know, Dr. Tracy. Yes.
No new complications?
No, except that the wounds are healing very slowly. I'm afraid of atrophy in that right leg. A break and a burn, bad combination, you know.
I see. Well, suppose we take a look at it.
Yeah, sure.
Hello, Max, old man.
Well, Dr. Tracy. Yeah, I'm glad you came in.
Now, Max, I'll do all the talking. You just keep running and grunt yes or no when I ask questions.
Okay, Doc. Okay.
Now, the right leg.
Mm-hmm.
Any sensation there?
No.
Any twinges in the right thigh? As though your foot had gone to sleep?
No. Not a thing, Doc. Not a thing.
Mm-hmm. Now the throat. Any throbbing right there?
Boy, you hit the spot that time.
Yeah, so. Well, keep throwing, Max. We don't want that scar tissue to tighten up on us.
Okay, Doc. Okay. Now, let me ask you something.
All right, Max. All right. Make it short, though. Mustn't tire yourself.
I want to know about Kenny. How is he?
Well, he's
hurt bad.
He's not in pain, Max. I can assure you of that. Now, but that's all you want to know.
Oh, one thing more, Doc. Now, let's not kid ourselves about this fire. You know, and I know, the warden's going to fight us all the way.
Now, don't worry, Max. I'm going to fight him every step of the way of the investigation.
Well, did Cheney get that piece of celluloid to you, Doc?
Indeed he did. And it's a valuable piece of evidence against the warden, too.
Good old Cheney. Doc, how long am I going to be in this joint? I got to get out and help you and Doc Benson.
Max, you'll be out just as soon as you start relaxing and let nature heal those burns, and not 1 minute sooner. Now, don't worry, young fellow. You'll get your chance to tell all you know about the bad conditions of state prison.
Count on me, Doc. Count on me, Max.
If you'll give me a moment of your valuable time, I'll change that bandage on your neck.
Take your time, Doc. Take your time. I'm not going any place in particular.
Won't take a moment. It looks good with me.
Here you are, Doctor.
Look at that, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. No longer an insult. Another week, you need to be quite healed.
Not that it makes any difference, Doc, but, will the scar show?
Just a little one, Mark. Both of them get a beauty mark.
Hey, this isn't half bad. I'm on the mend. Mary left in pretty good spirit. Say, tell you what, Doc Tracy.
There's no reason.
Now, there's no reason why you can't move old Cheney in here with me, is there? No reason at all. Such I get lonesome as a deuce with nobody to talk to.
Oh, now, Mr. Sanders, is that a nice thing to say to me?
Nurse, you know what I mean. You can put his bed over there by the window. Cheney was always looking out of windows. And we pipe down whenever Nurse said so. Well, what about it, huh?
Well, Dr. Benson, do you think...
How about it, Doc? Huh? How about it?
Yes, we didn't mean to tell you this for a while yet, but I think you should know.
You mean Cheney's dead, Max? Cheney's dead. Dead. Cheney. Dead.
He died like a man, Max. No soft stuff, no fear, just a sort of... So long, boys. See you later.
Cheney. We planned so much. Doc, he was going to help me when... Oh, Doc.
We don't have to say anything, the three of us. But we won't ever forget things.
Here, Max. Drink this. All at once now. That's better.
Lie back, Max. You'll be asleep very soon.
Guess I'll get used to the idea. Maybe this is all happening. No.
Don't leave this patient's bedside. I'll be there at midnight.
Yes, Dr. Benson.
Dr. Benson, come out into the hall for a moment.
Yes, Dr. Benson. Did you see the prison board this afternoon?
Yes, I saw them, Dr. Benson. And I'm afraid we may be too late.
I don't understand.
The warden got to the prison board first.
He filed a 20-page report on the fire, and his name is Sweet Lars on the fire, and his name is Sweet Lars and Max Sanders as the men who set fire to the prison.
But now, because of the warden's terrible falsehood, are Max and Sweet to be branded as the men who caused the death of seven others? Is there yet time for Dr. Tracy to check the warden in his treachery?